Sing it again. We're going to let God take our hearts and open up our hearts and our mind to the passage, and then we're going to sing it again towards the end. Here we go. I want to know Christ and the power of his rising, share in his suffering, conform to his death. When I pour out my life to be filled with his spirit and joy, follow suffering, and life follows death. Oh, wow. Pretty tune. Incredible commitment. But it really fits, though. First of all, I think that if we can just respond our commitment to God as a response to God's commitment and promises to us. I think sometimes we get it kind of backwards in life, is that, I don't know if I'll be able to keep a commitment. So I don't know if I want to make a commitment. Well, I truly understand where God was saying that don't make a vow if you're not really going in your heart want to keep it. But when you make that commitment of following Jesus, when you believe in who he truly is, and that you knew he went to the cross for a reason, and that he was buried in a tomb, and even though some people are skeptical about that, we can have an answer to the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus because of the evidence that we can even find outside of Scripture, but also given in history and in writings that 500 people witnessed Jesus over a 40-day period. And so it wasn't just a glimpse of Jesus, and I think it was Jesus, is that they knew he was Jesus. And it was already after his death. Because of what God had promised. God had promised Jesus would come. God had promised mankind he would take care of the sin problem that happened in the garden. And he knew it was going to happen because he knew that we would be weak and we would be frail. And so, really, what does the resurrection prove? I mean, I've got to make an emphasis that we can believe that Jesus went to the cross. And we celebrate that because we say, because of his broken body and his love for us and the shedding of his blood, that's how we can receive forgiveness of our sins. So I'm not downplaying the death of Jesus, but we can't leave him hanging on the cross. So we follow him to the tomb. So we believe that he died and he was buried. But where the most important factor of our belief that Jesus is the Christ and he is the Messiah is where we make a decision in our mind and in our heart, he's no longer in that tomb. He lives. And I want to get to know him. And I want him to live in me. And he's with the Father. And they're working throughout and searching for hearts all over this world still today, looking for hearts that would desire to seek him first in his righteousness and to have their belief impact their life, that God is who he is and God sent Jesus. And that's very important to understand. You know, it's hard for me at times to, if you just left God, for me as a human being, it would be hard for me to relate to some invisible being somewhere beyond the sky. But when God became human, I can relate to that. Now, he came down and dwelt among us and was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted, but modeled the strength of God. Because there is no sin in God, but there's life, a righteous life. So we don't leave him in the tomb. We believe in the resurrection. And that's our story. That's what we just need to practice, I guess, learning how to just share to other people. But one of the best ways to share to other people about them having a desire to believe in Jesus is to make a statement like this one. I want to know Christ. I want to get to know and share in his sufferings and conform to his death. I want to learn how to go to a cross like Jesus did. Because we've been looking at a series of lessons here lately about if we want to please God, why don't we just imitate Jesus? Because he said from a voice from above that he was pleased with Jesus, his son. Listen to him. Follow him. I want to know his sufferings. I want to conform to his death. Because when I pour out my me-ism in life to be filled with his righteous spirit, the Holy Spirit, then joy will follow any kind of suffering. And life, true life, will follow death. Wow, that's an incredible promise, isn't it? To have that as our belief, as our core belief, as our core message, to be able to share with people about that, that you just want to get to know who Jesus is. And hey, would you like to come along with me? You know, I think when you invite people to come along with them, instead of trying to maybe put them down or condemn them, and actually I got to reiterate that if we're going to have a mission to condemn people, then we're not following the mission of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, my mission wasn't to come down here to condemn anybody. My mission was to save them. And there's a big difference. And for me to try to condemn all the other different beliefs and stuff. Yes, true, I understand. If there's a false type of belief that Jesus is not the Messiah, I would just beg the people, don't listen to that teaching. Because Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And you're not going to be able to get to Father, our God, the Creator, except through Jesus. And so we've got to follow him to the cross, to a burial, and to his resurrection. But what does a resurrection, what difference really does it make? Now, these are in your notes for you to go home, be a Berean, and examine scriptures and find out what is being taught this morning, if it's true or not. Okay, so I put the scripture text there so you can look them up and you can study on your own. Remember, our teen class has been talking about learning how to do quiet time. We talked about last Wednesday about Jesus got up earlier in the morning just to go away to have some quiet moments with God so he can pray and face the day. And if Jesus practiced that as a need, then as we follow him, we can practice that. Now, you might say, but Kevin, it's going to take dynamite for me to get up any earlier than what I'm already getting up. Well, we just might have to die to 10 minutes. We may have to go to bed at 10 minutes a little bit earlier to get up a little earlier. Because before we face our day, brothers and sisters, it'll affect your life and it'll affect mine. If you try to face your day without first letting God know you need him and that you know he'll be with you, I don't know how we make it. I don't know how we're going to get through. So we can start creating this. But what does the resurrection prove? Number one, it proves this. God's in control. That's what the resurrection proves. God's in control. I don't have power to raise people from the dead. I wish every time some family called me and said, would you please come over and be with the family? We need some comfort because we have a loving mother. We got a loving father. We got a dear brother. We got a dear sister and her uncle that has passed away. I wish I could go over to that home and say, fear not, all children. Show me where he lays. And be able to get up and yell from their name from the hallway and watch them walk out of the bedroom. I wish I could do that for people. But I'm not in control. God's in control. And God has a life that he will raise dead people to be with him. Now you might say, well, what about the Lazarus thing? Well, he stopped doing that. He hasn't stopped doing that in a sense of what the purpose in our belief is. What did he say? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? That should impact our life because he may not come to our living room and he may not revive a body that's already out of the grave, but there's coming a day that when the voice of God is heard and the sounding of a trumpet, all those who are in dead in Christ will rise first. So everybody will rise again. And a resurrection will happen. And they will receive a new body. God's in control. Now, when we emotionally believe that, I believe we've arrived at an emotional maturity in our life when we realize that much of our life is beyond our control. Not all of it. We have to face up and be accountable for areas of our life that we contribute, that we take into control. But most of our life. And my question is, have we figured that out yet? That really, I'm not in control. I mean, look at all the major things in your life and my life that I had no control over. I didn't choose when and where and what year I was going to be born. I didn't get to choose that. I didn't get to choose my parents. I didn't get to choose them. God chose them. I didn't get to choose my gender. I didn't get to choose that. And I can't predict my future, no matter how much I try to. I just cannot do that. Now, I can make decisions that will affect it, but I'm not in control of it. Now, I don't know if you felt this way, but I can't make time slow down. I'm starting to believe in myself. I need 32 hours in a day. It seems like I need that much just to be able to get everything that I think I need to get done. And you know, one thing that is hard for us who speak the Word of God and teach the Word of God, I can't force people to accept Jesus. I wish I could. I wish I could just come in and just change your heart. I wish I could convince you to believe in this one passage that we're going to look at in just a moment. But I'm not in control of that. God is, and your acceptance of Him and your belief in Him is. So God's in complete control. There's nothing that God cannot control because He's made it. He has absolute power. He can do anything He wants. And the Bible says this, that He will give you His power. God will give you His power if you believe. Now, I want to go to the passage I want to key in on. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your smartphones and can get to the scripture, if not, I've got it up here. The New Living Translation says it this way. I'm going to read from the NIV, but because I'm going to go up to verse 15 and read down through. Here's what Paul is telling the church that met in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better." Wow, isn't that great? Actually, the prayer here Paul's saying is that I'm going to keep asking God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you wisdom and revelation. Why? So you can get to know Him better. You can have a relationship with Him. You get to know God's purposes. You can get to know what God is calling you to be. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope that He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. Now here's our verse. I also will pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. Now get this. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I don't know. I've spoke about this verse before, but I probably need to pray this prayer more for us. It would benefit you and I. It would benefit me. That your heart, the eyes of your heart, will be enlightened, that you would understand the inheritance that God wants to give you, and that you will understand His incredible greatness and power that is held for those who believe in Him. Now, what's that power like? It's the same power that took a dead body after 3 days, and He walks out of the tomb. I don't know about you. I don't know where you're at right now. But I'm going to try to get to your heart here. Is that great power to raise a dead body to life again? Do you truly believe it? Really? Be honest with yourself. Do you truly believe in the power of God to resurrect somebody who was dead for 3 days back to life? If you do, He wants to give it to you. Give it to me. What do you mean? Well, first of all, that's an incredible promise, and it should blow us away every time you read it. He says that his power is available to us. From the God who is in control, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we have access to. But what for? So I got to ask you some questions. Is there anything right now in your life that you would say is out of control? It's just out of control. Is there anything in your life that you'd say, no matter how I tried to quit that, I just can't quit it? Is there anything about your thoughts about your career and what direction you want to take, but it just doesn't seem to be going in the direction that you want it to? Are there habits in your life that you would love to break, but you just kind of feel like God's just not going to give you any kind of hope to break it because you've broke it probably 1,000 times over and over again? You make the promise and you keep breaking it. What about the scriptures that Jesus speak? Because Jesus asks us in John, and actually tells us in John, he says, if you love me, Kevin, then you'll keep my commandments. And then I start looking at all of his commandments, and I go down through that. Is there any of the commandments of Jesus that you would say, I've tried, but I can't? To love other people as Jesus has loved me, I've tried. I can't. Pray for your enemies. I've tried. It just seems like I can't. I think even Paul said there's some things that he knows that he ought to do, he's not doing, and then there's some things that he shouldn't do, and he's doing them. But then he goes on and says, but if I live by the Spirit, God's in control, and he gives me access to the power of the resurrection, which will change me. Now, don't let Satan beat you up, because no matter if we tried it 1,000 times, what God wants us to do is just to remember that the resurrection proves he's in control, you're not. So no matter how many times you've tried, just continue to believe in his promises, and he'll give you the access to that power. And you can win. But he gives grace, he gives mercy, he gives hope. He says, I'll help you, I'll be with you, follow my son, I'll strengthen you, follow him to your cross, follow him to your death, follow him to your resurrection. I'm in control. That's what the resurrection proves. Number two, the resurrection proves that God's promises are true. Now, there's three things in there that I didn't put. There's three things in my notes I didn't put under there. So on number two, write these ABC underneath of it. See, long before Jesus came to earth and died on the cross and rose again, if you just and went back to heaven, God promised he was going to send Jesus. Now, we can relate to that because he became human. Now, Jesus says he's going to come to earth, and he's going to do several things. Now, A would be this. I'm going to show you how to live. I'm going to show you how to live. B, I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. And C, I'm going to lead you back to the Father. And oh boy, what my Father and your Father is preparing for you for eternity. Wow. But I'm going to lead you back to him. One of the most incredible promises was this that Jesus made. This is from Mark 8:31. Now, this is the New Living Translation here. I'm going to read it. It says, Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things, be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law, and he would be killed. Now, if we stopped right there, that's not much of a story. Because there's a lot of people that went before the religious leaders were condemned and was nailed to the cross and thrown in a grave. But here's the difference in Jesus' promise. But 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. And that makes the difference. That makes the difference about everything. That's exactly what he did. God always would keep his promise, and God wants to give us access to that kind of power. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard and what no human mind can conceive, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I know we want to go to heaven. But I tell you one thing, I don't think there's a human on this earth who will be able to describe to you what it's going to be like, because it's going to be a whole lot more amazing than what our brains can ever can come up with. It's going to be incredible. And it's a promise that is made to the people who decide to follow Jesus' life, stay close to him for forgiveness, and be a disciple of his to follow him to the Father. That's what's waiting for us. And that's incredible. Now, next verse. This is 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Now it's waiting on you. But we get so attached as humans of the process of this human life that we forget where Jesus is trying to lead us to. We're so used to decay. We're so used to dying. We're so used to getting old. Has Jesus gotten old to you? We've heard the stories. Or is he the one that motivates you to live each day, knowing that God is in control? And no matter what suffering you're going through, you can brag about God. Because joy follows suffering now. And life follows death. It's a whole different perspective. A whole different view of life. It's almost to the point to where you understand Paul when he says, if I would die, but it's going to be my gain. Oh, boy. But if I stay, I'm going to jabber so much about how great God is, it's going to be your gain. I'm going to brag about him. I'm going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about how he has this incredible power. Because number three, the resurrection truly proves that God really loves me. Have you forgotten that? You know, you'd say, well, wait a minute, I'm coming to church. Brothers and sisters, you can come to church all the time and forget God really loves you. I've forgotten it. Because sometimes I forget because I relate to God through what humans give me. instead of looking back at the cross, the burial, and the resurrection, that's what God gives me. And that brings me hope. Because humans will fail each other. Storms and all the stuff that's happening in our life, when it gets our focus, we think that when we get our eyes fixed back on Jesus, we're lifted up and carried through. Really, what difference does this verse make? For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now that should make a difference. That should make a difference to you and I. So what I want you to do is go home and write this verse out, but instead of put God so loved the world, put God so loved your name. And truly believe it. Yeah, it's a great bumper sticker. Yeah, it's something that we can go buy t-shirts and order for and wear around. But do we believe it? To our inner core, that God has made some promises because he has the life that is better to live. It's better to love our enemies. It's better to learn how to love like Jesus loved. It's a better life to want to save people from their sin than not get involved. Whatever fear we have in the mission of Jesus, the power of the resurrection can take away. Really? He can take it away. And we're here for each other. You know, that's why I'm convinced what Satan loves to do in churches is get church people against each other. Because one another commandments is encouraging one another, right? Next time that you feel that you're either talking to somebody or discouraging somebody, make sure you understand that's not the mission of Christ. And if I'm not going to say something encouraging, you know, this is the thing that's starting to puzzle me. Why do we as humans believe that it's an encouragement by using discouragement? I can't figure that one out. I'll discourage you to try to get you to do better. I just can't figure that one out. Now we can learn how to love each other and even sometimes face up to each other to say, well, I just got to have that attitude because I just don't see Jesus. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his rising. Here's your last thing, and then we're going to sing it one more time. What's the best way to prove the resurrection is true? Here's what I came up with. It's a transforming you. You being transformed by the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the best way to prove that it's true. Once a liar, no longer a liar. Once a persecutor, no longer a persecutor. It's a process, but you believe in the power of the resurrection. We're going to sing one more time this song. Then we have a song and encouragement for our shepherds to receive people for prayer and anything you want to bring to them. So we're going to sing back to back here. Let's just go ahead and be standing for this one. I pray that you can sing this one with a lot more understanding And this can be not just the commitment of Paul, but our commitment as individuals. Here we go. I want to know Christ and the power of his rising, share in his suffering, conform to his death. And when I pour will to be filled with his spirit, and joy follow suffering, and life follows death. One more time. I want to know Christ and the power of his rising, and sharing his sufferings, conform to his death. When I pour out my life to be filled with his spirit, and joy follows suffering, and life follows death.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace.
This is about your inheritance.
In the nations bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a plan.
Now when we all get to heaven, now what a day of rejoicing that will be. So when we all sing Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway,
a cloud will overspread the sky.
And
but when
traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. So when we all get to heaven, now what a day,
what a day of rejoicing that will be. Shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day.
What a day of rejoicing that will be
when we all
see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Sing it, man. Sing it.
Come on up.
Shout the victory. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Okay, just a couple of announcements and prayer requests. Just keep in mind in the bulletin, there's a lot of announcements, a lot of really good information here. I'm not going to read through them for the sake of time, but please take a look at them. If you don't have a bulletin, please grab one. There's just a number of announcements, a lot of good things going on, from Love Works to next Sunday, Joe Hall preaching on Agape, to Egg Hunt going on, to there's a marriage seminar being put on, and goes on and on, mental health planning, VBS. Just please look at the bulletin and make a note of those. I have a prayer request here. It says, please pray for the family of the five-year-old who lost his life in Tennessee this week. I don't know all the details, but just is always challenging when a little kid loses their life, so Blanche just asked us to be praying for that family. And then I have a thank you for your kindness card that was given to the Hickory Church of Christ. Thanking God for you, we would like to thank each and every person that helped on Howard's final expenses. We appreciate it more than you will ever know. Thank you all for the love and support during our difficult time. We love each one of you, Sally, Tammy, and Jimmy. So please, Timmy, please, you know, if you see them, they really appreciate the I guess, the service that comes out, again, because of our focus on Jesus. So I want to encourage everyone to keep that up, and just a great thing to keep in mind. One thing just to make note of, in the it's not in this week's bulletin, it's in last week's, but there's a couple here celebrating their 50th anniversary as of this past Friday, which is pretty awesome. So I just want to congratulate Dick and Mary Nell on 50th anniversary. That's really awesome. All right, so a lot of things to thank God for, a lot of prayer requests in the bulletin. Keep all of those in mind. We want to continually go into the throne room that we are privileged to have access to keep going to our Father and thanking Him for all the great things and all the ways that He'll continue to change us as well.
Mm-hmm. Bow with us in prayer.
I've got one more to add as a request for prayers. The Byers family is from Florida. Yesterday, we saw, at least I got the witness of the ministry, and is that Mark and his family is here. If you haven't got to meet,
amen.
Ashley, once known as Lynch, now
that's true.
And Tyler Lyman, they,
amen.
That mystery that Paul says about two becoming one, Mark got to kind of guide that yesterday. And he's his family and minister and a church down in south of Tampa, right?
Amen.
So we need to pray for their safe travel back today, as well as anybody else that might be traveling here that you may be known. And get to know them before they leave, because
amen. Opportunity.
I like to visit south. but make sure we get your number before you take off.
That's great.
Father, we just thank you for the laughter we can share. We thank you for the times we can be.